Jesus, we thank you again. We can't talk to you enough because you're alive. And it takes us sometimes many years to figure out that you're alive, especially those of us that have been born again for quite a while. We've been set apart in our sanctification to grow, to be holy as you are holy. And oh my goodness, does that take a long time to do more of the right things for more of the right reasons. Bless us today. Bless your word. Help me to get out of the way. In your precious name, Jesus, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So, you want to hit the, take the thing out and put it in again, if you wouldn't mind, the little thing.
Is it on?
Yes. Okay. Tech help to the booth. Yeah, so this isn't full battery. I'll let you play with it a little bit. Hey, we start with the cartoon because we like to get you laughing a little bit. And if your laughter is high, your emotional state will be the same in terms of learning. And so the neuroscience is pretty strong. Three Cross Realty, for sale, single owner tomb. Only used 3 days and still has that new tomb smell. Not bad. So Jonathan, would you hit the button as Gary plays with that, please? Hey, he is risen. Happy Easter. So when I say he is risen, you say he is risen indeed. Can we do that? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. And we celebrate his life. If you're born again and has Jesus in your heart, I got to challenge that, but in a couple slides. If you've received Jesus as your Savior, if you've trusted in him alone by faith for salvation, as we talked about in the baptistry, you're born again. And that's a really great place to be, especially in his church, born again. Jonathan, do we get that? Oh, next slide. This could be a long morning. Is it working? It's working? Ooh, ooh. Nice. Hey, give John and Gary a hand, huh? Come on now. Thank you. Yes. Oh, there. Great assurance in this little guy. Okay. You say, oh, you trust him. I trust Jesus. I trust him too, but he gave men and women the wisdom to put these things together so they could be streamlined. Okay. Hey, if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in 1 Corinthians 15, you see some things about witnessing Jesus' resurrection. Jesus appeared 12 plus occasions to 500 plus people in 40 days. They saw the empty tomb, saw his scars, touched Jesus, ate with Jesus, listen to Jesus and watch Jesus. So he lives. I just hope he's living actively right now in your life via the way of the Holy Spirit. So because he lives, I can stand up and talk most of the time in complete sentences because he lives most of the time. How about you? Somebody bold enough to not be ashamed? As we talked in Matthew 10, where he challenged his Jewish disciples to go and be bold for him. He said, you confess me before man, I'll confess you before the Father. Somebody bold enough to say, because he lives, blah, 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 but don't say blah, 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 because then nobody would understand.
Because
why?
He lives.
Tell me why. Because he lives what? Because he lives what in your life? Because he lives. Because he lives, you can love? Yeah. Yeah. That's the only way. And his is agape love, sacrificial love. Matthew 5:44, what good is it to love people who love you? Even the pagans do that. What else? Because he lives, what else? What's that? I'm saved, born again, that's right. Have this relationship with Jesus that if he comes today, I'm going home. I'm going home. Hopefully you will too.
Changed my life.
Change Steve's life. Change what else? Because he lives.
Enjoy hope.
Enjoy hope, yes. No matter what the doctor says, you can enjoy a future because we know where it lies. Oh, it's powerful. Anybody else? Yes, John.
We are blessed.
We are blessed. Yes. Abundant life as we walk in the Spirit, John 10:10. Sean.
Because he lives, we can have trust in all the promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ.
All the promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ. Thank you. Yes, because he lives. If you're sitting there going, I don't feel it. How much longer you got? Because some of us get there. We're born again, but we just haven't kind of tapped in and listened to the Spirit in our life, so we're walking in darkness. And when you walk in darkness, it's really messy, especially at home. Gary, because he lives.
He helps good win.
He helps good win, yes. Yes. And while we see good win, it's interesting because the devil himself, there are four places in the Bible where he gets called out and gets kicked out, 86th. Those are very interesting passages, but yes, we know how the story ends. Omar, last one.
Forgiven.
Forgiven, yes. So I can be forgiven so, so much. But then as a Christian, I still confess my sin to him so I can walk in fellowship with him and abide in him. Why can't I forgive my wife as easy as Jesus has forgiven me? It's like, oh, that's different. No, it's not. Jesus has forgiven so much more. So it's like, yeah, I've got this high view of me, and it just stinks. It just stinks. Maybe you can understand that, identify with that. Hey, this is a chorus to a song, a server, risen Savior in the world today. I know I'm not going to get any prize for that and any medals for that, but would you sing this chorus with me? Would you sing it loud, please, just really loud? Matter of fact, let's stand really quick. Get a little more glucose and oxygen to the brain. Sorry, it's neuroscience. It's... So this is my Jesus. I was given it to me from Northwest Christian School from the Bible teachers who had used him in their junior high Bible classes for years. He does prayers in Spanish, and it's pretty cool. So if I have him, pardon me, if I have him and I say I want to have Jesus and he lives within my heart, there's truth to that. There's truth to that. But let me give you one little better on theology as far as in my heart, because we're going to need that today for later. Ephesians 1:13, the Apostle Paul says, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, You are also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So if you're a Christian, you were sealed in Him. And what's amazing about that, a seal is an identification mark often placed on a letter or a document. Okay, and this goes back to first century and before. We know from who it's from by the seal on the letter. So here it says you, so not a letter, you were sealed. Not what? Now here are the benefits. Here are the benefits. Those of you who are here and born again, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Because that's what I think often. The Holy Spirit Himself is the seal. His presence indicates security and ownership. So I think that's a good deal. Ownership. I've been bought with a price. Wow. So have you, if you know Jesus as Lord. The word guarantee, it's in verse 14. I didn't flash it. Didn't have the room. The word guarantee is a down payment. It's our down payment. And that's what it means, down payment, only used in the New Testament, of His coming glory. So you go, I don't feel really spiritual. But you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're born again. You get the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, we believe, according to John 10, 27 to 29, will never leave you. Will never be snatched out of Jesus' hand in that verse, or the Father's hand. Give me another one of those, Andrew. That's right. Andrew said, sometimes when we're worshiping, I may get up and start dancing. Like, get up and start dancing. Who's quieting that? Nobody's quieting that. Oh my gracious. Don't encourage it now. Don't encourage it now. Okay. He has his own set and track. Do you see the Holy Spirit working in your life? If you don't, He allows U-turns. Say you're born again. You go, I want to walk with them. Well, 1 John 1:9 says that confess your sin. Confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and purify you from all unrighteousness so you can walk in the light, an illuminated path right before you. You can walk in that light. You have that opportunity. And so you think, golly, 1 John 1:9, that was written to Christians, new Christians in Asia Minor who are going to sin a lot, it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Because it says, Jesus is our propitiation, the satisfaction of God's wrath. Oh, we celebrate this Jesus today. Whoa, tell me that's coming next time. Whoa, my gracious. It's a lot of print. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, yeah. On Mark, we know a lot of that gospel was kind of narrated or dictated by Peter. And it's just interesting in the writing, but that's called that's kind of where the gospel, we think it originated, because the Matthew and Luke, they kind of use the outline, it seems like, of Mark. And they call it a synoptic gospel. But check this out. Check this out. Up there, upper room discourse, not in the other gospels. So Jesus meets her, that Passover meal. He washes the feet of His disciples. Later, Judas, he leaves. He's up to no good. Or maybe it's a lot of good. And we'll let you decide. We go from there. Jesus, late into the evening, takes His disciples and takes them to Gethsemane, where He prays, and He teaches them along the way major cool truths. Then he goes from there to the betrayal and arrest. Look at this. After midnight, and there's a reason for that. After midnight. That's a long evening. You know what I'm saying? You're entertaining all night. You go, you get past midnight, and then you come up to six trials. That's a long night. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it would be convenient to say, not today. You didn't do that. You didn't do that. Wow. So as we go and we see these trials, six trials Jesus went to in the middle of the night. Six different trials. We've got before Annas. He's the old high priest, okay, that was replaced for quite some time, but still calling a lot of the shots. Then the current high priest, okay, we've got Caiaphas and part of the Sanhedrin. And then before the full Sanhedrin after sunrise. What an agonizing night that Jesus had. So as we go forward here, let's just look at this. The Jewish charges, blasphemy, claiming to be the Son of God, the Messiah. Did you know that these Pharisees and these religious scribes, teachers of the law, do we realize that they didn't want to be infringed upon? They didn't want to be overrun and have the spotlight on someone else. See, if Jesus is really the Messiah to them, he's over them. He powers over them. He's an authority. They don't want their Jewish empire to come down. Plus, they don't even like who he associates with. Sinners like us. They don't like that. And then the miracles, all the attention that they were getting, oh my, the list just goes on. And so the Jews were really at odds, and he was getting a lot of attention. And it was taking the attention away from the scribes and the Pharisees. And so it's like, oh wow. So the charge is blasphemy, claiming to be the Son of God, the Messiah. Look at this, though. These religious zealots, so to speak, they have their 613 laws. They have the ways they're supposed to be doing things. But they violated a bunch of laws to try him. They violated a bunch of laws to make this trial go really quick after midnight, so they could convict him, capital offense, and take him to Pilate. And we'll find out why in just a moment. Wow! You ever get kind of really spiritual, and then you're like calling shots and feel like you've got all the answers when you got the Bible right here, but you're like, no, it's the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't match up with what you're saying. So you got to align those two. You know, it's important. Okay. Here are the illegal proceedings in the Jewish trial. Here are some of them. Because there's like a bunch more. But then you'd be here till like 11:30. Well, some of you would. Some of you are probably gone 11:15. But anyway, no, it's crisp and it's concise. Judgment should have been delayed till the next day. In capital cases, judgment is to be delayed until the next day instead of immediately. That's why it was after midnight when this started. So same day, tried and convicted, sentence carried out. No bueno. Working on my Spanish. Sanhedrin should not have looked for witnesses after the trial started. According to Jewish law, a trial starts when witnesses come forward to testify. To testify. Not to go out looking for these witnesses afterwards. No possibility of a fair trial. They had plotted to kill Jesus ahead of time. We saw that on Palm Sunday. And especially, admittedly, by Caiaphas himself, which was a social political position. It was of no spirituality that we would embrace Jesus as Messiah. It's illegal to have a capital trial at night. and no trial on a day before the Sabbath or the holy days. So it's like, whoa, okay, wait a second. How about the Roman trials? The Roman trials. Before Pilate, Herod, Pilate, and crucifixion. Hey, let's say that together. It might become like memory and rote, and you can go tell somebody for lunch today, hey, we know what happened in the Roman trials. Say Pilate, Herod, Pilate, crucifixion. Again, Pilate, Herod, Pilate, crucifixion. Again, Pilate, Herod, Pilate, crucifixion. It's just a way of committing it to memory. That's all it is. I don't want to memorize it. I want to memorize other things. Okay, that's fine too. Memory's a great thing. Let's go to these Roman charges. You can find them in Luke 23:2. You can. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ the King." So, these weren't the Roman charges by the Romans. These were the Roman charges by the Jews, who told the Romans what he was guilty of. They couldn't have said he's guilty of blasphemy, that he's trying to be our coming Messiah and God. That would mean nothing to the Romans. Nothing to the Romans. So we've got this. Not a bunch of bogus things, but you can see Jesus was not popular in some places. He's not popular some places in our world today. Some of us are very embarrassed and timid to like say anything about him because we don't want to be persecuted, where it says blessed if we're persecuted. But again, that's just scripture interpreting scripture and giving us answers for things that we struggle with. So look at this. Why did the religious leaders need to take Jesus to the Roman governor Pilate next? Because they couldn't sentence him to death to the point where they carried it out. They did sentence him to death, the Jews, but they couldn't carry it out unless the Romans approved it. So that's why they take him to Pilate. And so as you see this, Pilate had a reputation of being ruthless, so he was the man in charge, he was the right man. They also knew that an offense of blasphemy would not work with Pilate, so there lies the charges. Wow. Well, let's go a little further here. Before Pilate, Pilate asked him, "Roman governor, are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered them, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." So the people took the arm of a Roman governor and moved it forward that they would continue to try him. Check out next, before Herod. When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. Herod wanted Jesus to put on a show. Do some miracles. Give me a show. I want to be entertained. I want to be entertained. But Jesus would have nothing of it. So what happens? Before Pilate again, Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I do not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But that wasn't the custom for Passover. Here we've got one final thing. But they all cried out together, away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, a man who has been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addresses them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. Who do you think? The Romans or the Jews? The Romans or the Jews? Who wanted Jesus dead more? The Jews, by far. But let's go further, because there's more to the story. There's more to the story. Matter of fact, let me show you a little video clip. God set this up ahead of time. How did God set this up ahead of time where everybody would come together so precisely, and yet his will would be done using all of the people and all of the time as this? How could that possibly be? And we said it was the Jews. The Jews killed Jesus. But God said, wait, there's more to the story. So let's see here. Sorry, I messed it up. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also give him graciously, give us all things? Also with him graciously give us all things. Romans 8:32. Okay, wait a second. The story's changing. There seems to be a different director on the set. Oh no. Could there be something different? Is there more to the story I'm not missing or that I'm not catching? Oh my. My thing froze. Next slide. Oh gracious. Okay, so this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. Not the Jews at all. It's not the Romans. It's not the Jews. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, Acts 2:23. Oh no, God. It's your story. It's your plan. I guess maybe this is the only way that we could have our sins atoned for and cleansed. Hebrews says it's impossible for bulls and goats to atone for sins. It's just a covering. It has to be Jesus' blood, God himself. Wow. Surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. For us, so we could live and have abundant living in our families and take passages like 1 Peter 4:8 or 2 Peter 4:8 that love, this is my wife by the way, yeah, that's not right, that love covers a multitude of sins. Oh, that we could live like that because he loved us so greatly. Oh, now I see how we can be married 34 years. 33, I know. But 34, I'm looking forward to. You see what I'm saying? It's pretty powerful. This is all making sense now. God's plan all along. Thank you. God presented Jesus, Romans 3:25, as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. The Apostle Paul, Romans 3. So before we take a look at the video of the empty tomb, the empty tomb, a remaking from the Son of God movie, before we finish and leave here like really high, like really high, because he lives and because God knew his son, who was 100% God himself, would die. So I could live and not be bound by all the bondage of the world. Because those of us who know Christ, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation for those that know Christ, this Christ. Next slide. What will you do with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection? What will you do before you see the resurrection up close and personal? And the way that his disciples responded when they said the stone was rolled away from the tomb. Do you know this Jesus? If you know this Jesus, are you following this Jesus? I'll tell you why, because if you say you know him, if you go to the book of James, it's a tough book. It's the last book in the canon. It almost didn't make it, because it was like justification by works? No. But sanctification, once we're born again and have this Jesus, what are you going to do with him? How are you going to move forward in him? How are you going to connect with him in prayer and through his word? And how are you going to let the Holy Spirit rain down on you and then go according to he's asked you to go? At work, in the marketplace, with neighbors. This is what we're looking at. This is what brings us inexpressible joy. Joy. So right now, is there anybody that needs to receive this Jesus into their heart? Anybody at all? Just slip up your hand. Anybody at all? So everybody's born again. Is that right? Well, just to be safe, I'll say a prayer. And you go, I'm a little embarrassed because the world may think I'm weak. I hate to say this, but you are weak, and so am I. You know how fragile we are? You wake up one day, and you lose the ability to navigate the keyboard, and you're going, I'm not sure what's short-circuiting. God gives you the ability to do that. God gives you the ability to bless others. God gives you the ability to be love, his hands and feet to others. If you haven't done it, start with Jesus. So you just say, Jesus, I believe in you the best I know how. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I want to follow you. I turn from my sin, Jesus, the best I know how. And I want to follow you. Jesus, come into my heart. To be Lord. And Pastor Don, that's bad theology. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Jesus, come into my life. And make me born again. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you arose 3 days later to give me a chance to be born again. Save me, Lord. I cry out today, save me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So that's the sinner's prayer. You go, I prayed that, and it was way shorter. Okay, go with the shorter version. God knows your heart if you want him in your heart. And then the way you show him is you start to follow him. Not this version. This one can go home in a box. And then you can keep them there. I'll see you next Easter. Okay. Where were we? No. That's not the kind of Christianity that we signed up for. Go home and look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This is the beginning. So if we say we follow Jesus, look at Luke 9, 23. And then go, so Don, I want more information. Text me, email me. My information's in the bulletin. Let's see what happens after his burial, after his tomb experience. Let's see what happens. And so let's take that momentum of Jesus himself and go forward. And touch the lives all around us. Literally hundreds and thousands of people without Christ that have no hope. We've got hope. So let's meet together here and go off and reach the community. Can we have our singers come, please, to close this out? Wonderful praise team. Tomorrow night, we've got Celebrate Recovery for people with hurts, hang-ups, addictions. Meets in here at 6:15, and it's a great time. We would love to have you. Anybody has hurts or hang-ups of any kind? What's the habits? Hurts, habits, hang-ups. And that's a great time. We also, on Wednesday night, did you see the marriage? There's a marriage class coming up on Wednesday nights. It's around sacred marriage, and it's the thought that God, what if God made marriage to make you holy instead of happy? And that's totally biblical. We'll talk about that. Liz has agreed that on some nights she'll be able to come with her work schedule to be a part of that class and with myself. And thanks again for being here. Let's stand and worship.